there is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, my bored monkey, Tim.
I would chirp, but I'm just not feeling it.
Way to be there, buddy. Our guest tonight has been Wayne Herschel. He's one of the authors of The Hidden Records, and he's been a great guest. We're going to have him here for the rest of the hour. If you have any questions, we've got some questions coming in through email. Send them to dave@darknessradio.com. Tim will get those read for you on the air. And we're also taking phone calls at 612-375-1400. Again, that's 612-375-1400. I do want to plug a friend of ours, Todd Sheets from the Night Watch Show, is going to be on Strange Phenomena, and I apologize if I'm butchering the name of the paranormal radio show. You can check it out at WCANradio.com. He'll be coming up on May 25th, and he's the host of the Night Watch paranormal show. Good friend of our show. We were also, I was on there about a week ago, week and a half back, so you can go back and check it out. We talked about the paranormal. I talked about a lot of the events that happened with me. They do have an archive section there. Great radio show. They've got a paranormal radio show there that they do. I'm going to also need friends of the show to tune in and help me out, because they're going to be doing, they actually asked me and Tim to sign a couple of items to send in for a fundraiser for them. They're going to auction off. I told him nobody wants our signature, but no. Prove us wrong, call in, bid in for the stuff, and we're going to get that out to them in the next week or two. So keep checking out their website, help them raise some money. It'll be a great way to help them be able to afford to go out and help people that have paranormal investigations that they are far away and that the paranormal investigative group can't get to. It's a religious-based paranormal investigative group. So if you have the time, check that out at WCANradio.com. And again, remember, our friend Todd Sheets from NightWatchShow.com will be on the WCAN show on May 25th. We're coming back right now. As promised, we've got the TAPS trip coming up in the first weekend in June 2nd through the 4th. Tim and I will be there. We'll also be with our good friends Steve Gonzalez and Paula J. Donovan from the TV show Ghost Hunters. Keith and Carl Johnson, the demonologist twins, will be there on hand to give us a lecture on Friday night. We've got Paula and Steve there for question and answer with them afterwards. Also, got Paula and Steve to hang out with for the day on Saturday. We're going to check out the TAPS headquarters. We're going to check out the haunted hotel, and we're going to all go out to a restaurant and have a nice dinner together. That day, we're also going to have a friend of our radio show with us. CJ Sellers will be there on Saturday for the downtime, and will be available for doing mini readings to help you connect with people on the other side. She works very much like John Edwards. She'll be there to do mini, I think, 20-minute readings. Very cool, very affordable, and a lot of fun. You get a chance to talk to people that have crossed over onto the other side. Right now, though, we're going to put Wayne Herschel, our guest, on the spot, because, as promised, we're going to do a drawing. We're going to draw one name out from all the people that have paid to attend this program. We're going to draw out your name, and if your name is drawn, you have 15 minutes. Now jot down this phone number. It's 612-375-1400. Again, that's 612-375-1400. We're going to draw your name out right now. Call us within 15 minutes. Robin's going to be keeping time. If you do not call, we're going to redraw another name. Once another name is drawn, you are no longer eligible for this contest. So we'll shake up the bucket here.
Time to play bad guy, Wayne.
That's right. No peeking, Wayne.
No peeking, no.
Not a bad guy.
Let's see. There we go.
Oh, no, not that one.
Not that
one.
I'm just kidding. All right, dear, let's see what we got. Adam Unger.
Adam Unger, you now have 15 minutes to call us at 612-375-1400. And just let me reiterate that this is a refund of one admission. If you purchase three admissions, it's good for only one of those admissions to be refunded back to you. So if you are listening tonight, Adam Unger, give us a call. You have 15 minutes to get your free admission. We thank you very much for paying and for playing, and we look forward to meeting everybody at the event. Now we're going to go back in and talk to Wayne again. Wayne, we had a really good question come in on the email from a friend of ours and a friend of the show here. Her name is Sparrow on the boards. Mm-hmm. Her real name is Pat Chris. And Pat, let's hear the question from her, Tim.
She says, Wayne, it appears that civilizations on opposite sides of the world were able to access the same kind of advanced techniques of precision stone cutting at approximately the same time the Mayan and Aztec cultures did, much as the Egyptians did. Do you think that it's possible that the world shamans today are still accessing information from other universal intelligences or parallel universes today? She asks because she just did her first shamanistic journeying last week.
Yeah, there's two parts that that sounds like two questions together. First of all, it is true. The amazing thing is that all these ancient civilizations across the whole northern hemisphere, that's across all the continents, all seem to have this strange, unique way of cutting stone, moving large blocks, and of course, lifting them. The amazing thing is, I believe that these people are still coming back and visiting. The thing that people don't realize is our protocol, the world law for unidentified flying objects in any country anywhere in the world that has an air force. Would you believe the standard procedure is anything that is unidentifiable, that is not your own type country aircraft, they must heed to an arrest or blow them out of the sky. Now, that is pretty heavy thought and sad to think of how human civilization would make such a decision on something that might be far more advanced than we are, that if they don't heed to being arrested, we shoot them down. So,
well, isn't it strange, too, Wayne? If I recall, in the 80s, we put up a satellite or I don't remember what it was called, a shuttle, whatever, mm-hmm. and we put a gold record in there with greetings from all over the world,
isn't that
inviting these to come to our planet only so we can blow their ass out of the sky. I mean, is this...
Yeah.
Get her done.
But it's true. I mean, it's this fear of perhaps these craft having a technology that would destroy us. I mean, please, if they can travel across the distance of space by light years.
Exactly. I was going to say, how can we be so arrogant that if we see them, blow them out the sky, General?
Yeah, sure.
If they've come here from another planet, most likely they're going to take care of us before we take care of them.
Yeah.
And why haven't they? What's your theory on that, real quick? And Pat, Chris, we thank you very much for emailing in that question. We're going to make sure to get out a copy of the book to you as well. So if you can email in to Dave at Darkness Radio, your name and address, we'll get a copy signed to you from the author for the Hidden Records. Thank you very much.
Enjoy the book, yeah. I can't believe the way that people think, especially these are the people that control our countries, that they can just shoot these things down. Surely they listen to our wavelengths, and you know they would understand many languages perhaps and see what we're doing. They would never, ever in a million years, come down to this primitive planet and say, you know, this is who we are, and you know we'd like to meet and try and help you. We would arrest them. This is another silly, stupid thing, and I can't believe it. The reasoning behind it as well. It's been written about many times that because of that threat that they have this technology that could harm us, we would arrest them. We would take them aside, and I'll tell you what, they would never let them go again because our scientists want to know every little bit of information they can give.
But a lot of the philosophies out there are that we're working alongside, I mean, our governments are working alongside with the Greys and some other alien forces to get their technology and get their help.
So, that is a possibility. Then it would be a whole different story that it's an agreement on a higher level. And they've seen that they could possibly get more technology that way. Then they would do that, I guess.
Let me ask you this. With all the planets in the universe, why Earth? Why not Mars? We always hear about the Martians. Mm-hmm. You know, and you cover in the book the face on Mars.
Yeah.
And you also have the Mars star map.
Amazing.
And for people that are tuning in, you can check out all this information or a good portion of it on Wayne's site at thehiddenrecords.com. Thehiddenrecords.com. And Wayne also invites you, if you've had a check, to take a look on there at the Da Vinci Solutions and look at the pictures there, click on the solutions and see it. If you have any questions or comments, please do give us a call at 612-375-1400. He'd like to hear from you. Again, it's 612-375-1400. The way you access those solutions is underneath each one of the portraits, there's a little round disc,
icon,
if you will, like button that says solutions. Click it, and another screen will open up. you hit F11 so it fills up your entire screen. Take a look at it and give it time because it's actually in a flash program, so it'll start to evolve in front of your eyes to show you the pattern. So please, if you get a chance, check take a look at that. Give us a call in. But going back to the question with Mars, what's the star map of Mars? What exactly can you tell us about that?
Many years ago, an ex-NASA connected person, he wasn't actually working for NASA, but everybody knows, I think, in America, Richard Hoagland, said that one of the photographs from the early Viking, probe, the photographic module of the Mars surface picked up something that looked like a mountain carved in a human face. And then a second one came up with a different sun lighting angle, but to this day, people have argued, is it a trick of light and shadow? Well, the new images are out now, and they're very high resolution. The detail is so crisp and clear. You can see the makeup of the debris field on the whole of this huge face-type mountain. I believe it's human. Human face, a mimicry of the actual exact positioning of the eyes, the nose, the mouth, even a hairline, and the symmetry. It's absolutely amazing. I'm very fortunate to have a very unique image published that NASA are very kind about people using this imagery to research. And with the aid of electronics and overlays with imagery, I took the shadow image and put it over the new high-resolution image so you can see it in three dimensions, and it fills up an A4 image. And I've got one of the small versions of it on the website so people can see the position of the eye and the actual natural-looking human face that it really is.
What is the star map telling us?
Oh,
then?
Yeah. The whole layout of the pyramid ruins, which... it's strange to say that, you know, here I'm saying pyramid ruins on Mars, but there's a cluster of pyramids to the one side of the Mars face, and even lower down below it in the same area, the other anomaly that everybody's been speaking about is a five-sided pyramid. Now, looking at the photograph of the stars and looking at this layout, this is a mirror image of the stars that I have in question, of the M45 star cluster, which people know as the Pleiades. Have a look at the image on my website and look at every single size of star and position and angle between them. There's about 30 to 40 different correlations there. Now, that is one that defies coincidence by probably an 8 or 9 digit number. It's just amazing how it is so accurate.
With the picture, I mean, it is amazing taking a look at it. And I've heard the same stories that the face on Mars is just a play of light and shadows. But looking at the newer high resolution images, even if it is just a play of lights, it's playing off of shapes that are carved. Because the light has to play off of it, which is causing the shadows to...
Shadows are shadows. You've got to have something blocking the way. And because we have different angles of lighting, different sun angles creating different size shadows, you can get a very clear three-dimensional image with computers.
So are we seeing that this was an evolved planet at some point where there was life?
NASA have said that. They've said they found ocean beds. They've also found splat craters, which go figure out what this means. I mean, a crater that makes a huge big mud splat, that would be an impact in an ocean bed that has suddenly been emptied. That perhaps even maybe, let's say hundreds of feet deep mud being impacted, and it actually caused a huge splat. Those sort of things only happen in a major cataclysm where a really massive impact. Now, let's think of the biggest impact crater on Mars. It's probably, I know the size in kilometers because I'm from South Africa. We don't use miles. It's 2,000 kilometers wide. Go figure what that is in miles. But it's really massive. We're talking a chunk of rock that was probably anything from, nearly 100 miles wide. I know what 100 miles looks like. And that is one huge bolide that would not just go through the surface of the planet, would probably nearly come out the other side of the planet, which I think it nearly did with a huge kilometer, they call it the Valles Marinas Trench. It's a giant Grand Canyon. Take the Grand Canyon in the U.S. and multiply by at least 10. It's really big.
So it was a planet-killing meteor?
It looked like it nearly went through, and it left a crack on the other side, but would have destroyed the whole makeup of the planet, and oceans would have flowed into that big impact area, and there's no more water left. So I don't think those oceans have gone somewhere, and I think they've evaporated because the atmosphere was vaporized, so water would not stay fluid. It would evaporate.
Now, one of the other interesting maps that you show on I know on the website, and I believe you cover in the book as well, is one of the star maps that correlates with the Sphinx. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, after seeing the pyramid correlations all along in one beautiful line of constellations, you know, you go back to the most important part of the where the largest pyramids are in Giza, and the Sphinx has this legend attached to it that it's looking at something rising in the east. Well, we're looking at stars as pyramids. Could it be looking at stars rising in the east? And looking at it from above, I wouldn't. To make a complicated story simple, it's a matter of getting a photograph of Orion and Leo all in one big picture. That's very hard to get that, but a star atlas can do that on a computer. And measure the angle between the three belt stars of Orion and the stars of Leo. Make that angle. It's actually close to 45 degrees. And look at the layout of the three pyramids and the Sphinx. Would you believe that angle correlates? And it's amazing because you've got a 360-to-1 chance because you've got one of those pyramids being small. So the acute part of the angle is facing the larger side pyramid. So it's saying the Sphinx is pretty much telling us, you know, look at the pyramids as stars, and that is its secret.
And you can actually see that on the website. Under what section is that?
Let's say it's the Sphinx secret. I've made That's it available right. for media. If anybody has a website that wants to use it, the images are conditional of usage as well for websites, for magazines, for even newspapers. So I'm trying to make as much of it available freely because I'm one of those people that believes that these sort of things, the fundamentals, should be made freely available.
Great. We're going to go to a break here real quickly. Let me just check with Robin. Robin, did we hear? Nope. Adam Unger, you did not call in. Shame on you. We're going to do another drawing here. We'll pull another name. Wayne, dig into the magic bucket and see what we can come up with here.
Yeah, all right. Next one.
Get that one right there on the right.
I can't look.
Oh, good. Okay.
What do we got here? Virginia Barton.
Virginia Barton, you have 15 minutes to give us a call at 612-375-1400. Boy, it'd really be nice if some of these people that are going on our trip actually listen to our show.
That'd be cool.
I hope you're tuning in tonight and listen. Again, give us a call at 612-375-1400. And remember that if you call in, we will refund one admission price. Even if you bought three, you'll get one admission price back to go on the TAPS trip with us. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. Our guest this evening is Wayne Herschel, the author of The Hidden Records. We're going to be back more with Wayne and some really controversial stories right after this.
The New York Times has raved about the show. The Star Tribune says it's paranormally funny. And the Biscayne Bugle said, how could they put this crap on the air and live with themselves?
I am so, so sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault. Because it was my project. Everything had to be my way. And this is where we've ended up.
Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
This is Dave Schrader from the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Each week, we delve into the web of the unknown and deal with a lot of scary subjects. But nothing makes my blood run colder or scares me more than dealing with technology. That's why we turned to the experts when we wanted our website for the show set up and maintained. In the studio with me is Don Raleigh, owner of Evolve Systems. Don and his exceptional staff were easy to work with and made setting up our site a breeze. Don, what is it that sets you apart from other web developers?
Well, Dave, we make your business visions come to life by creating, maintaining, and hosting all of your internet needs. We do this by listening to our clients. We offer programs and price plans to fit any budget. And Dave, I mean any budget. Call us at 651-628-4000 and put us to work for you.
Call Don at Evolve Systems, 651-628-4000. I did, and I couldn't be happier with the results.
That's because we take the ugh out of technology, Dave. Call us today at 651-628-4000 or visit us on the web at www.evolve-systems.com, serving the entire United States. That's Evolve Systems, helping you to manage change. Cheers.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Do not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at Taps Paramag.
I know I didn't have an anal probe, and I know that I am not under alien control.
Now it's
in the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. This is your host, Dave Schrader. Our guest this evening is Wayne Herschel, the author of The Hidden Records. Fascinating book, covers the different star maps and star patterns that are out there and all the different context that happens with these and where we come from. And it's just a fascinating book. Make sure that you get a chance to pick it up. You can check it out on our website by going to www.darknessradio.com. Click on the show link. You'll see a picture of Wayne, and underneath that is a picture of his book. If you click the picture of the book, it'll take you to the website, and you can actually flip down and find the book there and order it. So please do place that order right away. I'd like to congratulate Pat, Chris, and Dan Davidson for winning the copies of the book. We have one other issue we'll give away before the end of the show. And I'll tell you what, we're not going to wait the 15 minutes on this deal because, you know, I'm guessing if you're listening, you call in right away. We haven't heard from our next caller. So we're going to do another drawing since we've got a short time here. I want to make sure that we can get somebody out there. We'll have Timmy do a drawing this time.
Oh, no, don't trust me.
Come on.
End up pulling Gumby or something.
That's right.
Let's see here. Who have I got? Sarah Zermino?
Okay, Sarah, let's see. Sarah Zermino.
Z-E-R-M-E-N-O. Sarah, you have 14 minutes and 00 seconds to call it right now.
That's right. We will. Now, we do have a two-minute delay on the internet. I will give you that. So we'll give a little bit of time here. But we're going to give you about another 5 minutes. Check it out. If you can give us a call in at 612-375-1400. Again, that's 612-375-1400. And that's Sarah Zermino. Please give us a call. And hopefully we can get you on here and get you a free admission to the event. Now, we're going to go back in talking with Wayne here. Wayne, before we went away, do we have any questions that came in, Tim?
Nope.
Giving me a perplexed look. Okay. If you have questions, you can email them in to Wayne at dave@darknessradio.com.
That perplexed look is gas.
Oh, so, good.
Yeah, yes. Just ignore it.
You can email it in at dave@darknessradio.com, or you can call us at 612-375-1400. The phone lines are open. Again, that's 612-375-1400. We're talking to Wayne Herschel, author of The Hidden Records. Now, Wayne, let me ask you this real quickly before we get into the rest of this. What would you like people to come away with most from reading your book?
The most important part of it is to just see the connections in ancient civilizations, that they all had some kind of reason to build pyramids. I mean, who would believe the really absurd comment by so-called historians that they just built pyramids like building the wheel? I mean, go figure, it's impossible. I mean, it's just too much effort, too much time to bury one dead king. I mean, we have a king in Egypt, Snefru, that built three of these things, and they were pretty much the size of the Giza pyramids. So in his lifetime, he had the technology to build three, and he wasn't buried in any of them. So the connectivity, why would they do it? For what reason? And I honestly think from everything that I've seen that they're pointing this message skywards. It's not for us. This is a star map depiction that they were trying to send out to those that came from above to show who they were and where they come from. But more than likely, I think with the event of a biblical flood scenario, that these people might have built these things after the flood, perhaps. And we're showing, gosh, here we are, folks. If you see us, you know, please come back and get us. And this world sucks.
So you think that
let's go home, yeah.
This is their way of just of.
I don't know. It's
keystoning who we are. So yeah. If other aliens, so does that beg the idea then that you believe that there are many other inhabited planets?
Any scientist will tell you.
Suddenly a mush mouth from Fat Albert.
I mean, look at the stars in the sky and these billions, and that's just in our galaxy, the billions of galaxies. What are the odds that there are other sun-like stars that, you know, I mean, we look at the sands on a beach, the sand particles on a beach, and trying to imagine that you only get bacteria growing on one of them because you've had a little probe that's connected to one grain of sand. Surely the others are going to have similar. I think we've been visited by many advanced civilizations, but seeing how destructive we are, seeing what we do to these strange flying objects, they don't give a damn about us, to be quite honest. So they probably look at us and feel sorry for us and hope that we sort things out. We are so overpopulated. We're destroying the Earth's resources. What are we really going to do to help ourselves? I think it's coming down to quite a shocking part, which we're going to talk about. And I think you mentioned later in the show, you want to look at the end scenario. Where is it going to go, and what is really in store for humanity?
Sure.
I mean, scientifically speaking, we are way overpopulated. Probably 2 billion people, more than what the Earth's resources can provide. So let's get into that later.
Yeah, I want to cover that. I do have a couple quick questions I want to hit you with. you know, in your book, you found that a bird-headed god appears in virtually all of these pyramid civilizations. What could it symbolize, in your opinion?
Looking at the ancient astronaut theory and looking at the Mayan depiction, there's one fantastic new one that I was lucky to find on a very early stone. They call it a stela of the, I think it's called the Harvest God. And it shows you his face in full detail inside this bird-headed shaped helmet. I think that's all it is. And if these folks really existed, the first thing that would be a problem coming back to visit Earth, and they used to a different environment, are bacteria. If you look at the original story of the slave trade, what happened when the people came to Africa and took slaves, both parties were very sick with each other's microbes. They couldn't handle each other's different microbes, and most of them died just from diarrhea. So they would have had breathing devices.
Like
what a way to go. So they would have had some kind of artificial breathing devices. And in this image in my book, it shows you something that looks like an earphone and a microphone on one of these so-called gods. It looks like a bird-headed god. That's what it comes down to. And you find it in Angkor Wat, you find it in Africa, you find it in Sumeria, Egypt. They're all saying the same deity came down from the sky and literally trying to teach them.
Okay. Have academics evaluated these claims that you're making or found fault with your claims?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because we've had a whole year of it in South Africa. My book has been out for a year in South Africa, literally as a silent experiment to give it a good test, because it's so important. We need to make sure that it is sound before international marketing. And we've had that year pass. We've had also a South African documentary being offered on a condition. And this is you know, quite logical. They will only do the documentary if we can get scholars to comment on it. Now, we've tried with the universities and to take just a simple analysis of just the photographs of the stars and get an astronomer to say, gosh, we've looked at all the stars. Everything you see in that star image is in place. It's not a mess up. And a historian to look at the satellite images of the layout of the pyramids and agree that everything there is exactly as it seems. It isn't up to them to compare the two. I mean, they're both specialists in their own fields, but we just want them to verify the reality of this amazing correlation. So if there's any astronomer listening out there, any historian that wouldn't mind commenting simply on their layouts, there is quite a lot that can help the story. And I think it's up to somebody like that to come forward, and the world deserves to know if this is real or if it's all just coincidence.
Great. Well, yeah, if you're an astronomer, if you're a scientist, you'd like to help out in this, where can they contact you, Wayne?
I have a number on my events manager on the news part of my website. That'll be for now. If anybody wants to look at especially the Da Vinci story, if the people out there looking at those Da Vinci solutions, please call in and comment or send emails on my website. We'd like to get some feedback, because these are more than just lines drawing between a person's nose and an earlobe and trying to make shapes. These are the common, people have written in as being clues in the paintings and well published. And would you believe that these templates, this shape, this geometric man fits in all these paintings within those clues? So, you know, it'd be nice if people can comment on that as well.
Sure. So if people want to contact you and they want to help out, they can contact you through your website at your email address there, or contact your publicist.
Yeah, there is a phone number in the news section.
Okay, and as the publicist is here in the United States.
Correct.
Right? Okay, great. Well, that'll make it easier. Before we let you get going here, and have we gotten a call in, Robin, from Sarah Zermino? Okay, Sarah, we're going to do another drawing here. This time I'm going to draw.
Dum-da-dum-dum.
Nobody wants to go on this thing, huh? Let's see.
For free.
All right. Patricia Martell. Patricia Martell, if you're listening, please give us a call at 612-375-1400. Again, that's 612-375-1400 so that you can get your admission refunded. It's one admission price will be refunded for the TAPS Ghost Hunters trip that's coming up in the first week in June. I'm getting a little dejected here, Tim. Nobody's listening to the damn show.
Don't
that's all
that,
your
Dave.
Fault.
They
it's all
do.
Your fault. I know that.
It's me. It's me. They don't like me.
Okay, good. As long as I can put it off on you, right. I feel better about me. Getting back in with this, now, again, we're talking to Wayne Herschel, who is one of the authors, along with Birgit Lederer, of The Hidden Records. You can check out his website at thehiddenrecords.com. Check it out. It's amazing. Great guy, as you've gotten a chance to hear here. He's very fascinating. He's going to be doing two live appearances here in Minnesota on Wednesday the 24th. 4th at 6:30 at the new Edina Library, and again on Thursday, the 25th of May at 3 p.m. at the Southdale Area Library. So please make sure to mark that down on your calendars. Come on out. You can also get a chance to meet Tim and I. We'll be out there shaking hands and saying hello. Before we get going, I want to kind of talk to you. We've had the opportunity to talk about a lot of really fascinating parts of your book, and you and I have had the chance to talk personally about things and correlations, and it's just amazed me the amount of knowledge you have on just about any subject I've been able to throw at you. What I wanted to talk to you about the end times. Mm. The question presented to you with what you know from mm-hmm. the maps, from the stars, from the history and lineage, do you believe that we are in the end times?
Absolutely. There's just too much of it. And if you look at the three prime sources of prophecy, that's Revelations, Nostradamus, and so-called messages that people have published from little gray aliens, they all seem to have the same kind of phenomena. Looking at history as it is now, it all fits exactly as what they're saying, and that's the East versus the West. We're coming at a time where we're going to fight a holy war, Armageddon. It all sounds to fit in place exactly now.
But isn't that what they've been saying for the last 50 years? I mean, when they did Mussolini, you know, started to reignite the Roman Empire?
Well, I don't know. It wasn't really the East and the West. It was originally the USSR. And, you know, gosh, how did the East fit into that picture? But it is definitely now the Eastern religious sort of belief versus the Western, perhaps. It's quite sad. I mean, we all believe in the same God, yet we're fighting over the differences in the little minor parts of the belief system. So I believe in the Mayan prophecy as well. That's another one, the 2012 prophecy for all kinds of reasons, and it involves a lot of research and impact events, and I think it's going to be an impact event. We have been very fortunate over the last 10,000 years not to be impacted, and that could even be from perhaps these people that come from above protecting us, but I think the time has come now where we are so overpopulated, so destructive, they're not going to stop these things from occurring, and we've had some near misses, very close ones. I have an astronomer friend. The publicity behind a near miss, if it's something in the middle of the ocean, most people and most news agencies don't even get to hear it. There was one, it was a year ago, I think, that happened over the Pacific, and it was a huge fireball, perhaps a couple of football fields in size, that picked up on satellite, and you didn't see it in the papers, but astronomers knew about it.
Why don't you think they're covering that?
Well, they're pretty shocked themselves. They wanted to make sure it wasn't some kind of nuclear testing. There's a lot of reasons, and I think just to stop people from panicking.
Well, now you have heard some interesting theories, and you were able to point out a couple of websites, you know, about the theory of the rise of the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, as we were mentioning there, you know, according to Nostradamus, he named that there were three Antichrists. They believe that it was Adolf Hitler, Napoleon, mm-hmm. and then a new one that will make his appearance. Now, there's also a mention of this in the Bible, and, mm-hmm. and you had some interesting information to share with me that you've found from other sites and other educational sources. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And is the Antichrist here amongst us? And by the way, we'd like to congratulate Patricia Martell. Patricia Martell won the refund of the fee to go on the Ghost Hunters trip. So thank you very much for listening, Patricia Martell. And we will get you that money at the event. You'll get it back in cash. Thank you very much for tuning in. And we'll go back to the question.
Yeah. I'd like to answer that question on what the general belief out there seems. I do a lot of research on internet sites, and one that is most popular believed, if you can just go into the website and type out the word Mabus. Now, this is the name that Nostradamus gave as the Antichrist, M-A-B-U-S, Mabus, Mabus. And have a look what the general public feel, because the rest of the story ties in with it as an Eastern leader that has a majority of popular belief that he is the person that will save their part of the world. What the people believe out there is a name as an initial, M as the first name, and then Abbas. That's quite a name. I mean, that's the name that's the new Palestinian leader. I'm neutral in it. I mean, I don't want to make any comment on that because it's too sensitive an issue. But the world out there seems to be buzzing with the idea that that, gosh, this man is what Nostradamus describes as being a non-militant, perhaps person that would appear to be a peacekeeper. I mean, it is hearsay, and it is probably just one oddity amongst another. I mean, a lot of people just before that. I mean, let's look at a contradictive analogy of that. So go back a year, people would take the name Mabus and write it backwards in the mirror, and guess what it spells out? Saddam.
Oh, sure.
Go figure. So, I mean, there it is again. So, you know, what do we believe? Just watch the way things turn out. But I honestly believe that we're right there, because there's just too much chaos, too much suffering in the earth. And I did an experiment the other day and tried to look at some of these international research on population that are deprived and people that are suffering, and trying to get figures into populations of each country and that. But in a nutshell, the amount of people that wake up in the morning with a happy smile on their face and have a beautiful day is probably a one-digit figure as a percentage of the human population. There's so much stress, so much struggle in life, and so many people starving out there and suffering, and the suicide rate is absolutely amazing. It is probably one every minute, or even that figure probably doesn't even make an accurate figure. How many people are actually committing suicide right now in the world, in suffering places of the world? So that is pretty shocking. So would the Creator allow that to continue? I don't think so. I think it's probably a situation where something natural like an impact or a world war or something like that will stabilize, let's call it an overall better condition for all of humanity thereafter, which is sad. I mean, to think that so many people would die for this to happen. We're not God, you know. We can only look at: is it worth people leaving this earth as souls and getting to a better place, and the rest of the world then recover and become perhaps peaceful after that? Then you'd have to say the Creator would want that. So, yeah, I mean, it was terrible to think about, but it could happen.
So, with that being said, you've got a possible name. Not you particularly, well, but what they've found.
The world
is
consensus. People are saying that. I mean, yeah. I mean, M. Mabas. I mean, it's just, it's quite scary to think how similar it sounds. I don't know.
And they can look, that's Mabus, correct?
Yeah, that's the
most. Is the name that was given in from Nostradamus.
Yeah.
Now, how close did he get? I think he called him Hitler, didn't he?
Well, Hitler was Hister. Sounds, yeah, and he, a lot of other things he said about Hister seems to fit in as Germanic, and at the time, and the what people thought, and the way that he was a tyrant, that fitted very well. Of course, Napoleon as well was made up out of three words, three anagrams of one quatrain, where it spelled out the name Napoleon as well. So look at those people. They were responsible for a lot of people dying, and he was a tyrant. Both of them were tyrants, and I think that was it.
Well, what's your theory on the fact that, the quatrains are you know, kind of left to speculation. Mm-hmm. People can look at, just like I could listen to the lyrics of a Zeppelin song and hear a story, mm-hmm. and Tim listens to it and here's a totally different thing you get from it. Isn't it up to translation and what you're seeing?
I don't think it's translation. I think it's a matter of looking for patterns. For example, he always speaks about a bearded comet, I think it is, in reference to something in the sky and fire in the sky. And the amount of reoccurrence of this particular description and what fits around it. One thing I'd like to mention tying in with that is that it seems to fit in with the time with Italy, and it seems to fit in with the time before the grand calamity, where this chaos, flood, famine, and fire in the sky, they all seem to fit together as perhaps a meteorite impact, which again is in support of the theory of the Mayan date as a meteorite ending.
With the going kind of back into the Da Vinci feeling with this, I know the whole theory of the Da Vinci Code and the novel is the fact that the goblet or
the grail
mm-hmm. is not so much a cup or a vessel itself, it's more the bloodline of Jesus Christ that was propagated through the history line.
Mm-hmm.
So do you believe then that that the bloodline of Christ is still alive today, in that, you know, that he will be here, or it will be here to, you know, kind of lead us into the next version of peace?
I honestly believe that if Mary's, the story of Mary Magdalene being the bride of Christ is a reality, there's a very good chance of that. It's quite likely that he would have had a bride, as far as what we're seeing now in these old Gospels. Would it be so bad if he had a wife? I don't think so. And if that's the case, then there's a very high probability that some scholars have said that he had children that came to the shores of France after he had died. If that's the case, there would be a lineage. But I don't think those people have developed, those children would be so special, because it's a spiritual thing. That soul that made Christ was a unique soul, I think, that was predestined and perhaps chose to come and save this world, whereas the children would perhaps be normal children like you and I. If a whole human lineage is of the same people, if our lineage is not of this earth and of that lineage of those that come from the sky, the Christ lineage is exactly the same. And this is what the Gospel of Judas is claiming, that that star is also Judas's star, and saying to me as an amateur astronomer, seeing that the story melding together, that it's that we're all of the same lineage. So it's the soul, not so much the flesh, the blood, or anything. And I think the Grail is actually a dish and a plate. I've actually written about it in my latest release on the website, with the paintings, where the I believe this geometric code exists in the paintings. I've written a little section that looks at the Grail as being what you see behind Christ's head. It's the sacred cross. It's a red sacred cross. It looks like a halo. Many people have looked at it and commented that there's so much detail and description shown on it. It's shown with St. Peter. It's shown with Mary. It's also three-dimensional as a plate. If you look at the statue of St. Peter at the Vatican, it shows you the flatness of it as a plate sitting on the head of I think it's St. Paul or St. Peter. Anyway, on a statue there, you can see the cross shape on it as well, that it is more like a plate. A Grail could be a plate, and perhaps on that plate were the secrets of humanity. I think that's what's been hidden all these years.
See, when I first met Tim, I thought maybe he was part of the lineage of Christ, because whenever I was over at his house, his grandfather would go, "Jesus Christ, what are you doing with that?"
Yeah, so we have some family from France, so there you go.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It all fits in.
Does it really matter? Yeah.
Now, with the aliens and that we're aliens here, are there species here? Are there other aliens? Do you believe that dogs, cats, cows, whatever, are those alien creatures?
Apart
as
from
well?
The human lineage, I think if you look at the oddities in the animal kingdom that really seem to have a lot to offer. I mean, if you take cows, cattle, the bull, milk, cheese, the food, the meat, and also sheep with wool. Maybe, you can say. I mean, if they really came down, would they have brought these creatures with them? That is a good question. There's no proof for or against it, but it makes you wonder.
Well, now, we had the opportunity to talk. We were talking a little bit about the aliens and the Greys, and you had an interesting philosophy that you were talking to me about who they were and if they're still here with us.
It's based on research and looking at the evolution of our animal kingdom up to Neanderthal, and seeing the hominid story going back from Neanderthal to the earliest ape, where there was still another mammal that really outshone the ape at the time of the earliest apes. And this was the actual dolphin lineage. It was a land mammal. Okay. And take a look at it's very hard to get hold of, but the paleontology records of fossils of these dolphin-like creatures. They were kind of dog-like in four-legged fossils. This is probably the earliest form of it. But at the time of our evolution, the dinosaurs had the better condition, so they were food. And of course, they took refuge back in the water again. And I think this was the ultimate mammal that was destined for the inheritance of the earth. And the creation, being as intricate as it is, allows the ape to develop in place of it. So we're the second on the choice of creature line, perhaps.
So you believe that dolphins?
Well, yeah. Let's look at that. Let's look at the dolphins' features: the pointy chin, the large gray head, the skin. Amazingly, the side fins have one less bone compared to our five fingers. They're still, you know, that one less digit, which is supposed to be common in the Greys. But more importantly to me, in my research, is the people that have had these abduction scenarios, and there's many of them, and they all have a commonality where they think that these Grey entities are not male, not female. They're kind of drone-like. and have no sexual parts, and because they wear these tight bodysuits, and you can see that basically they all look the same. Now, this is an interesting thing, and anybody who's seen dolphins naturally in the sea, the male and female dolphin coupling, you will recognize that their parts are not visible from the outside, that they have normal, almost like human genitalia, but the male parts are retractable. This is getting pretty hairy, but you know, what can you say? There's another way of saying it. Retractable undercarriage. Anyway, you know, the male dolphin has, I mean, that's pretty clever. I mean, wow, you know, what went wrong with us?
I get that retractable thing when I go into a cold bath or swimming pool, so I can relate.
Yeah, so you believe that they're more related to the grays and the aliens. Why aren't they?
I think it could be it, yeah.
Okay, but you believe that they retarded their maturity by going back into the ocean?
I think it's natural selection again. As a simple creature, it hadn't had a chance to evolve yet. That this four-legged creature that was perhaps really in time over millions of years would have been upright standing and in place of us today and would have been the dominating advanced mammal. Because of the dinosaurs roaming the earth, flesh-eating, and they were the food, they took refuge in the water. And this is now, I think, the way the creation works, that it would see this creature has no further development. If it's in the water, I mean, you know, how would a creature super develop in water? You know, there's just no way of teaching
learning.
Become
a water breather after a million years.
That'd be fantasy. Yeah, but what would be, imagine having things like, you know, advanced colonies under the sea. I think that's a bit of a fantasy. The perfect living conditions are on the land. That's when you can do things. That's when you can speak. More communication skills. I think the poor creature in the water had that was the end of its evolutional control by the creator. That was where it ended.
So because the grays that are still out there had a chance to develop on their planet.
On the land.
And they developed on land. That's why they stand upright.
I think they evolved with the creation being the design power behind it, the force of life from the creation for this creature to be in the perfect conditions, which is air-breathing land, being able to travel, I mean, how do you travel if you're in the water? I mean, it just doesn't make... It's so limited.
You know what? Another correlation,
even, yeah.
Another
fish.
Correlation here that I think might actually fit is the fact that, you know, my mom and my wife and daughter went swimming with the dolphins this last year.
Yeah.
And they seemed to know your butt a lot. So even the dolphins have a predisposition for anal probes, which would make sense to the grays. Is that right?
Aren't you going to be scientific then and say, gosh, you know, they have this amazing
me be scientific, Wayne. Haven't we spent enough time for you to realize?
Fair enough.
I'm getting your mom on the phone and asking about the retractable part thing.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about it, dude. It's my mom.
I know.
But you got to mention that dolphins have this amazing sense of softness, gentle nature, and caring and loving. And this is a standard thing with their feelings when they interact with humans, and a lot of humans have claimed that they've had the ability to be cured in that sort of presence, an etheric field, if you want to call it, of this wonder and love shared by this creature.
What about the fact, though, that most people, most abductees claim that the grays are the evil ones?
I think that might be a misnomer, because if you look at the way that the abduction carries out, they have such advanced technology. From what I've seen in research, they don't need to operate on you with a normal anesthetic. They could take your soul out of your body and let you watch over your parts being cut open and eyes removed and implants being put in. And this seems to be the general thing. But God help you if you go into any kind of hypnotic regression. Of what happened, because there's a part of your soul that stays behind, which I think is called the body veil, that records the pain that you didn't really feel because you were out of your body, but there's a record of it. And in hypnosis, it is very obvious from all the cases that they feel that pain, and that seems the most barbaric thing that could ever happen to somebody being operated on while they're conscious. But that is completely incorrect. Their soul was out of their body watching it. So sure, you'd believe that they were doing it on you while you were awake.
I guess I don't understand. They're an advanced civilization. What do they need our sperm and our eggs for? Why are they slaughtering our cattle?
Let's look at the biblical
concept. And why
did
they take Elvis Presley?
Take the biblical concept of the cherubim in the place of the tree of life in Genesis and in Revelations, because it's the exact same story repeating itself, that these cherubim care over life. In the Egyptian Ankh story, they have this Ankh shape, which is the keeper of life. I'm pretty sure if you look into Egyptology that this Ankh is named after these keepers of life as the cherubim. And it's quite likely that they propagate and look after all life in the universe. They just do it because they care about it. I don't think it's because God tells them to. It's probably because they just care about life and propagating a strong gene lineage in the universe.
So it's just carrying on. But what's with the animal mutilation? Do you believe that that is UFO?
Might be part
alien?
Of it. Yeah, I mean, think about what these abductees claim, that they see these artificial wombs. Now, how would a fetus connect to a machine? There would be some kind of umbilical cord medium, and it's quite likely, and we found out recently that I think it's cattle flesh of the area around the lips, and that soft flesh that heals quickly seems to be the right sort of material. That could be possible. Who can say?
So you think they're making fake umbilical cords, right?
Well, yeah, exactly, for artificial wombs and for the goodness of life in the universe. Think about gene pool. It's now weakening to the extent, we don't know, it could be weakening, but let's take a simple scientific experiment. You breed rats and keep interbreeding them. I mean, this is what the Earth population is doing. I mean, there's nowhere else coming from any other solar systems out there. That gene pool is going to weaken, and it's quite likely that it's been replenished all the time with these new genes coming from some other human-type lineages out there in the universe. I think the human form is common in the universe. That's probably what's so confusing here. It's quite likely that the human form is a very common design, one of the perfect sort of shapes and design that the gray could develop into, and that us hominids have evolved into. And I think we've just evolved somewhere else. My research tells me that the human evolution story is not tied into the solar system, that it is foreign, and it evolved in some other solar system.
Are we just one form of alien life, or are we a conglomerate, a melting pot of perhaps four or five different alien civilizations?
I think that's very evident in our races. Look at it in historical aspect, that the all races seem to just appear on the face of the planet very, very, very consistently 10,000 years ago, all over the Northern Hemisphere, and all different races all at the same time, even Australia. There's some things that seem to show one a bit earlier than the other, but it's still very quick. It's a blink of an eye in evolution. So we kind of just appeared.
All right. Going forward, you're going to be working on your second and third book. And Tim's signaling me, we do have a question here.
One more question here from Sparrow on the board. She said, if you finally had the opportunity to speak directly to one of these advanced civilizations and they could clarify one thing for you about the past, what would you ask them?
What would they clear about the past? Well, I would like to see the biblical event. What was before and what was after? Because the big debate is, did they build the pyramids before this major cataclysm as a really advanced civilization on Earth that then was lost in the biblical flood and hence the loss of technology? Or did they build the pyramids after the biblical flood as kind of cry out, this is who we are and where we are, please come back and get us, this is our code, this is our star map, you know, please look for us and come and take us away? Gosh, you know, that would be the big question for me.
All right. Well, I can't thank you enough, Wayne, for joining us this evening, especially on short notice like this. I also want to give a special thanks to our guests, Rosemary, Ellen Guiley, and Jeff Bellinger, who were kind enough to step aside. They will be back with us on June 25th, so please tune in. We will be talking about dream work and nightmares on June 25th with our guests, Rosemary, Ellen Guiley, and Jeff Bellinger. You can check out their websites by their links on our website as well. And next week, we have the author, Jerry Coleman, who's going to be on our show talking to us about his two books, Strange Highways and More Strange Highways, talking about all the crazy stuff that is out there in the United States, everything from El Chupacabra to, ghosts, spirits, different things that are out there. And we will have some copies of the books to give away. We appreciate everybody tuning in this evening and listening to the show. We appreciate Wayne and his lovely companion, Birgit Lederer, that are the author and co-author of the book, The Hidden Records. And again, you can check out his website by going to thehiddenrecords.com. Again, that's thehiddenrecords.com. We'll be putting the show up on our website for listening to again by tomorrow, so please tell your friends and relatives if they missed out. We'd also like to congratulate Patricia Martell for winning the trip and getting one admission refunded for the TAPS Paranormal Ghost Adventure Weekend that we're doing the first weekend in June. Tim and I appreciate the time you spent with us, and make sure that you do come out if you're in Minnesota Wednesday the 24th. You want to go to the New Edina Library at 6:30 p.m., Thursday the 25th of May at 3 p.m. at the Southdale Area Library, where you can meet Wayne Herschel, the author of The Hidden Records.